Hey, hey, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast, your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts. Unleash your soul and learn to co-create a life that you love. As you become the writer of your own destiny, in this podcast, you're going to find inspiration, practical tips, and that sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You're in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. Today's topic is a little bit on the serious side. I won't put anybody on blast, but I have a friend whose 18-year-old son took his own life. And you know, in my conversations with her, I honestly, probably the hardest conversation I've ever had in my life was talking to her. I spent a lot of time just kind of letting her scream and cry and yell. And that was kind of the agreement of if she needed to call me for anything, she could. So a lot of the conversation was just letting her vent. And I want to talk a little bit about grief and kind of how to navigate when someone is going through that. I think it is kind of like a human instinct response that we have to just say that stereotypical bullshit, you know, like stay strong and, you know, whatever. And I gave her the safe space to not have to be strong, you know, to just kind of feel all of those emotions, because honestly, I don't know what she's going through, but I felt the pain in her screams, in her voice, in her cries. I feel that longing in her heart. And I think, you know, just the entire situation is heartbreaking. It's weird. I have a lot of friends that have actually, you know, lost kids, and I've had quite a few conversations with several of them. In fact, if you've been following this podcast for a long time, you know that I've actually, you know, talked about a couple of them. So very interesting thing, because I've never, you know, I don't have that experience. I've never gone through it. But if I were to think of the worst possible situation, that would be it. That would be it. And I know exactly how I'd feel. And I would literally want to die. I would have that feeling. And, you know, I think giving her that space to feel that, one of our last conversations, you know, she was like, she has other babies, you know, and I don't really want to leave here, but I don't know how to stay. And I think that's the most relatable comment that anyone could ever make in that experience. And I think if you've lost someone close to you, that's, you know, tragic or, you know, kind of fast, I think death sucks. You know, it's the only guarantee that we have here. It's coming for all of us. Okay. None of us make it out of here alive in that sense, but in a scenario where there's no warning, you know, I feel like it's different. I have a friend who lost his wife to cancer, and I'm talking to him the other day at the softball fields, and you know, her death was like a blessing because he had watched her fight, and she was sick for so long that it was like, thank God she doesn't have to suffer anymore. It's a different experience, and there's still grief, but this tragic like situation where there are, you know, there's, she doesn't have the answers, you know, and something I kind of took through the conversation is that if you had answers, like, would it change how you felt? If, you know, every question you had, if you had every answer to every question, it's not going to take away the grief. It's not going to change how you're feeling. But I think it's important if you are, you know, going through this with someone that you find out what they need, you know, and I know that's uncomfortable for us because we don't know what to do when people are freaking out. Okay. But it's almost condescending, just some of the things that people say. And I'm sorry. I couldn't imagine hearing that over and over and over. You know, I wouldn't even want to talk to people at this point. Because what could anyone say? And I think that was the space I gave her of like being honest and saying, I don't know. I have no idea what to say in this moment, but I'm here to listen, you know, and just let her be in those moments and let her share that darkness with me without judgment, without, you know, no judgment of just like, I feel that it's okay. You know, it's okay to have these feelings. And just, you know, talking her through like the normal things. And these grief is a process that takes time. I have had experience with grief, just not as close to home, not as traumatic and not as gut wrenching as this, but it's something that takes time. And it's challenging to cope with that intense emotion, but it is very important that, you know, if you're going through it or helping someone through it, that you're finding healthy ways to express the feelings, you know, like she just wanted to hit something. I'm like, find the closest rage room, take all, whatever you want to do, go out into the forest, take a bunch of antiques, break the shit out of whatever it takes to get that, you know, aggression out. Let yourself get it out. Let yourself be mad, you know, take a baseball bat to the pillows, whatever you need to process that. Like, don't hold that in because you get to freak out. Okay. You get to freak out. But you want to take care of yourself physically and emotionally, and you want to be around the people that can allow you to be in your feelings. And, you know, part of what I would say in this space, if you're, you know, dealing with losing someone, this is another example of why, you know, my relationship with God is important, because I know that energy never dies. That's a fact. That's science. Believe in God, don't believe in God. Energy never dies. But believing in him means that you live in a lot better place than the alternative. And guess what? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if I'm wrong? What if there wasn't a God? You know, what am I missing out by building a relationship with him and having hope in that future versus what happens if you really do find out there is one and it was too late, you know? So I rely heavily on that. I don't, you know, I know what I dream heaven to be like, but I do feel like the people that we love the most, we're going to see them again. We will be there. And I know that's been a huge like coping mechanism for a lot of people. You know, this world is ugly. Who wouldn't want to be in the arms of Jesus right now? You know, but you have to understand, like, wherever you're at, the grieving process takes time. And it's easy to fall into that spiral of just sadness and grief, but you don't put a time limit on it. There is no, you know, I've talked to her a couple times, and there's no like, you know, 3 days after you bury your kid, you can't expect to be over it. You know, and I don't think grief ever really disappears. I mean, I think about, you know, I literally the friend I lost last year, I was just thinking about him the other day. And like, you know, my heart aches a little. I'm like, damn, I'm really never going to see him, you know, in this lifetime again. So grief sneaks up on you. Absolutely, it does. And I see that, you know, when my husband talks about his grandparents and, you know, stuff like that, like you can see something's missing. That never goes away, but eventually you do feel better. So give yourself that time to grieve. I don't care how long it takes you. And we do not get obsessed or judge other people's grieving process. Okay. You kind of have to just focus on the time it's going to take you and know that it's just one foot in front of the other. And it, you know, it's little things of like making sure she's eating, making sure, you know, she gets in the shower, little things to just kind of take that step forward and taking care of yourself, making sure you're staying hydrated, you know, and being in that space of support. I feel like I know that in life, I grew up hearing that when it rains, it pours. And it's like all the shit comes down when we're going through the worst times in our life. And it feels like that because that's kind of where our focus is. So it's about getting yourself around people that are going to give you hope for that next step, right? And when you're dealing with someone that's going through this grief, you never want to be you never want to just be like, oh, honey, you know, like you're feeling sorry for them. Like, I want to be that beacon of hope that she knows she calls me. And no matter how she's feeling, I'm going to be like, hey, babe, what's going on? Well, I didn't ask, like, how's it going? I know how it's going. But it's definitely holding myself to that higher vibration so she could calibrate to that, to feel that little bit of hope, you know, and to kind of allow yourself to be okay. I think that's really hard, especially I can imagine the situation as a parent, just allowing yourself to be okay because you have so much guilt wrapped up in a situation when it's unnecessary. You know, there is no blame in a moment like that. Someone made a decision, nothing you can do, unless there was something you could do, but ultimately there was nothing she could have done, right? Nothing, nothing anyone could have done. No warning signs, like there was no, it was out of the blue. But it's about forgiving yourself and understanding, you know, that it's okay, that you're going to feel good someday. If you're going through something like this, I think it's important that you find a support group, that you find people you could talk to. And it doesn't have to be just one that's close because it's close and convenient. If you don't like the vibe, that's not your tribe. Okay. So, you know, I think there's so many online resources too, where you can find a place that you feel like you can be you, be accepted, and process what you need to do. Because when you talk to people that have gone through that, it makes things feel a little less dark. You can see that it's possible to get through this, that it's possible to go through the healing. It's possible to go to the next step. Allow yourself to feel the emotions. I don't care if it's sadness or anger, whatever that is, bottling it up. This is how the dangerous cycle continues. And that's how you become the emotion rather than allowing yourself to feel that. Got to find these healthy ways to express them. So that means, you know, get your thoughts and feelings out. If you have to write, write every single day. If you need talk therapy, which, you know, I think that's great to a point. Let's talk it out. But there's this point where no one's going to change the narrative until we choose to change it ourselves. Like it's easy to get stuck on the story. Right? We get stuck on the story of this is where it's at. This is what it's going to be. This is how it was. And we just keep replaying that because we're afraid to allow ourselves to feel anything but that grief and that sadness. And that's what a lot of people do just in everyday life, is that you stick to this story that just keeps you repressed and it keeps you in the hole. It keeps you in the dark. Find a way to express your emotions. Do something creative. Move. Get into nature. Get outside 30 minutes a day. Just go for a walk. Just go for a walk. You don't have to talk. You don't have to think, but you gotta be out there. And that getting the sleep, you know, you can't force yourself to cope faster. You know, there's no skipping the process. You can't skip the steps in life. And as you start to see the light and getting, you know, as you start to get over this process, you start doing other things like getting that exercise, making sure that you're still getting that nutrition, you know, practicing relaxation techniques, praying, meditation, reading the Bible and journaling about that, just getting into that space and try to avoid the coping mechanisms. Like, we want to numb everything, right? And I think, you know, I do believe in, you know, pharmaceuticals. There's some out there that I think would be a great help in processing that grief. I would never judge anybody for that. I feel like if I was experiencing what she did, I would have to be heavily sedated for a minute because I couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine. I don't know. I feel like I would want to be numb for a minute until I was ready to just kind of allow myself to feel those feelings in that safe space, to come to terms with the reality of what was happening in my life. But you've got to avoid using the alcohol or drugs as a coping mechanism. You know, we don't want to drink ourselves to death and, you know, drown in our despair, because the long-term effects of that, it's detrimental. It's intense, man. It's intense and it's overwhelming. And I think it is going to be a struggle to cope, but every day, just doing that robot mode, putting yourself, you know, conditioning yourself to just do the things, you start to come back to life, you know, to feel the feelings. And absolutely, when you're going through grief, you've got to focus on the good memories. It's not trying to take yourself down the dark alley of beating yourself up of all the moments, you know, you missed or you could have done something different. But even just like writing a letter to the person that you're missing, writing a letter telling them everything you want to tell them, and just, you know, maybe tucking it away, or, you know, processing those feelings, write to them, talking about all the things that you love with them, you know, watching videos, photos, sharing stories, continue to talk about this person that you love and miss, because energy never dies. And while I think our meat suit leaves, that energy that we put here, we have an imprint that we make, it never, ever, ever goes away. So I really believe that we're still kind of here, but in a very different way. I think this important part is that, you know, especially if you're dealing with someone who is going through that grief and that heartbreak, is that, you know, you're very present with them, you know, being there, but respecting their need for that solitude, because we can't process their emotions for them and we can't, you know, force them to feel any kind of way in that moment. So it's about listening with that compassion, letting them express their feelings without interrupting them, just being there and listening. Like, you know, I know her screaming it out and doing all these things, you know, she just needed someone that could hold space for her there. You know, a lot of people, I think they go into this, like, you know, the kind of the practical help mode. And I think this is important too, that, you know, people are offering, preparing meals, running errands, doing chores for them. Because I'll tell you, grieving individuals are going to find it really hard to manage those day-to-day things, you know, especially if it's a parent that has kids that, you know, she just lost a kid. There definitely needs to be that time of grief. And you just have to respect the process. You know, if you've been through it, you know how personal this is. And there's no guidebook. No two people face grief the same way. Everyone experiences it differently. So you cannot impose your own timeline, and you cannot show up with all these expectations on how people should feel or behave, you know? And it's, we want to be encouraging and acknowledge their pain, validate those feelings. You know, you don't want to minimize their emotions. You don't want to minimize it by saying, be strong, you'll get over it, I know how you feel. There's no way that anybody could ever understand another person's private pain. You just can't. You can't. And, you know, just validate them, let them feel their feelings and kind of follow their lead, respect their boundaries and preferences, you know, when it comes to discussing the loss or doing things. And it, you know, because grief doesn't have a timeline, it's important that we're supporting them through all the memories. You know, there's going to be birthdays, anniversaries, you know, Christmas, these holidays. You want to be able to offer support, and you have to be patient. There is not a predictable timeline here. You want to be empathetic. And kind of the last thing I would really want to say with this, you know, is that you search for that meaning, you know, you explore the ways to find meaning and purpose in your own life, especially amidst the pain and loss, you know, and whatever that means, connecting with people, share your experience, you know, find activities that bring you fulfillment. I just think it's best if we choose a life that's going to honor anybody that we have loved or lost. How can you best honor the people that you miss the most? Because they're not here. They're not experiencing this. This is your pain. It's your pain alone. So you get to create the story. You get to deal with the narrative that's wrapped up in that. So find the purpose in your pain. There is always going to be purpose in pain. That's God's law. There's always going to be something good that comes out of something ugly. And that's not something you're going to say to someone, you know, in their darkest moments of grief. But that is a hope as they start to heal, that you encourage them to find that hope. So if you are someone who is going through the darkest grief, that's not your message right now. Your message is to feel it, okay? You're in it. You have to feel it. There's no timeline. Your feelings are valid. But if you've gone through that, you need to look at the fact that you're here, you're breathing. You have a chance to live. And I even look at this, you know, like you can look at a situation of, you know, generations of moms and daughters, right? Like eventually there's going to be a point in time where mom's going to be taking care of grandma, grandma's not going to be doing so great. And, you know, you've got to question your own purpose in that life. Like, we are not here to live for other people. You're here to live in your purpose, your power, your potential, the magic of who you are, because everybody has a purpose here. Everyone. Explore that. I feel like everyone just, you know, is trying so hard not to die. They want to, you know, keep their meat suit alive, but like, they're not living. What is your mark on this world? What is the impact that you're leaving? What is your legacy? Have you made waves in your generational curse? Have you, you know, started to break the chains of that? Have you brought healing? You have purpose. Step into that. I mean, there's a message in your misery. I think, you know, things like journaling and being mindful of that, like just staying present in this moment, in your awareness, is the magic. Honor the people that you miss. I love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow.